Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green. Here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome in, welcome in. Yes, indeed, I am back. And, oh my goodness, that does look nice. I have a crown today. This is a radio program. This is also supertalk.tv. Check it out. You're going to appreciate it. We'll talk more about it as the morning goes on. Hello, I'm the Garden Mama. It's nice to be home. Good morning, Lance.
Good morning, Garden Mama. Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
I know you had a blast, though. It's kind of hard to...
It does sound like the two of you, Mr. Mark, and you had way more fun than I could imagine. It was a hoot to listen, and I appreciate you. Yes, I did have a great time. New Orleans is where my children are, you know, so even though they're grown up, they're kind enough to be nice to their mama, and we had a good time.
You always need to see your mama.
We hope that everyone understands that.
Yeah, you always need to take care of mama and see mama.
Gotta be sure that everybody's smiling at least, you know, a few times a year, so that's nice. I have to say, though, this morning, Trey... Just roll those tomatoes on down here.
Oh, I've been so lucky.
They're perfect. These are perfect. I don't know how he does this. His are always this way. Just beautiful. You've been tomatoing this week.
Yeah, I've been so lucky. My mother is a wonderful negotiator. And she was able to, somebody gave her, or they asked her for a couple of t-shirts to get while she, I think she was in Oxford or something for their grandkids. And she said, sure, you know, and she got them and gave them to them. And they're like, hey, you know, we'd like to pay you back. She's no. And they insisted. So she said, look, you keep bragging about all these tomatoes you have. I want a bucket of them. And he said, okay, well, the first batch didn't work out very well, but the second did. And so, needless to say, I've been eating bacon, tomato, bunny bread, and mayo and pepper sandwiches for about a week. And we had a bucket. I mean, they were beautiful.
That's fun.
There's like one in there that had a little spot. The rest of them were perfect and beautiful. So,
well, I'm harvesting just enough to make me happy, but I did get a chance to run into cucumbers and tomatoes all in the same place when I was away and made salad that I think everybody enjoyed because there's so many things about summer. And one of the things about summer for me is cucumber and tomato marinating in vinegar just sitting in the refrigerator waiting for you to show up and have some. Put onions in it, put a little pepper in it, you know, different things like that. And I know it's not always, I know it's not everybody's favorite, but those of us who like pickled things find that to be one of summer's great treats.
And it is, you just kind of keep it handy.
Yeah.
It's cold and you're outside and it's 148 degrees.
And not that I, you know, I don't work in bars anymore, but when I was a bartender and the bars closed at about 2 o'clock in the morning, it's a really great snack around 3 a.m. when you get home. I know that sounds funny, but you're always hungry and you're always real awake after a night job. And you don't necessarily want to go and eat breakfast every time, you know, eat heavy food. So it's kind of fun. Amanda in Pike County's in this morning. Oh, that's beautiful. Really, really, really nice. They're doing the last Saturday morning farmer's market in Monticello today. 8 a.m. to noon, locally grown apples and jellies and pickles and all kind of baked stuff and peppers and tomatoes. And, oh, my goodness, the sunflower bouquets with the cosmos. These are so gorgeous. Thank you for showing us that, Amanda. Lovely, lovely, lovely. Yes, I know. You talk to your friends who live, say, farther north, and they're shocked at how hot it is because they're having a heat dome that they didn't expect. And suddenly, I'm getting questions from people in Pennsylvania. How come my tomatoes won't ripen? The answer is it's too hot.
It's too hot.
Just leave them alone. Where do you think fried green tomatoes came from? But there are a lot of things like that that we take for granted that they happen, but we have to educate some of our friends far away from it, you know. That's true. We are definitely, Thomas says he's hungry with us.
Yes.
We're all having the, I can smell the bacon. By the way, today is burnt in bacon day.
Oh, man.
Okay, so, I'm serious now. And by the way, if you take poorly cooked bacon, I learned this week, and put it in the toaster oven, not on the rack, but on a thing, on a piece of aluminum foil, it actually will crisp up. I was very surprised. I'd never done that before.
The bacon is resilient in a microwave. You can get it pretty crunchy. You better watch out if you had some tooth work done, because it'll crack them out, buddy.
You know, I remember when people began microwaving bacon, and I thought it was just such a horrible thing. I don't really think it's so horrible anymore.
Oh, I microwaved the heck out of bacon. Give me the quickest way to get to it.
Well, you can bake it, too.
Yes.
When you do tune in to supertalk.tv today, you will get a chance to see some pictures you've not seen before, because I only took them yesterday. There are some really, really beautiful zinnia shots that I'm particularly impressed with. It's that Uptown series, and there's also a really strange painted-looking philodendron that I've been propagating. It's not uncommon, but it's just not one that we see in everybody's yard. You know, it's a heart leaf, but it's got streaks in it that are a little bit different. And some crocosmia. I wanted a chance to talk about plants that are considered invasive and ones that are actually invasive. Crocosmia is not actually invasive. You can pull it up all day long and get it out without very much difficulty of any bed or container where it comes up that you don't want it. On the other hand, I have learned that if you fertilize what's around it, you end up with crocosmia that's about 8 feet tall and has gigantic flowers, which are kind of pretty. So you'll get to see that today. And also, Carissa holly. This is another heat phenomenon, I think. It is a variegated holly, a really very thick leaf, glossy, almost, just one of my very, very favorite of the hollies, because it just sits there and looks attractive all the time. But this year it has put on a green section instead of its variegation. Now it's variegated on top and variegated on the bottom, so it's kind of a sandwich. And I've been doing some reading because I thought, well, I must have done something, or maybe this is just a natural flare, you know, another thing that happens. Turns out heat will do that too. So it's pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. Who says you can't grow celery? There it is. That was from the other day, I know, but that's a beautiful picture. Good morning. The baskets are gorgeous, Rebecca. That's beautiful. Almost as pretty as the baby, but not quite.
Nice porch, too.
Really nice.
Love
really
the posts.
Nice. Love that. It looks like bubblegum petunia, and I really do like that very much.
Trey's eating healthy today.
Good heavens.
Tomatoes and cantaloupes.
Oh, Trey.
Man.
He knows how to make us just crazy.
Yeah.
He knows how to make us go, you know, is it time to eat? No, we can't eat while we're on the air. That's really rude, so we won't do that. We'll think about it, but we won't. Oh, my goodness. Oh, Andrea, that's lovely. This is, there are green coneflowers, and there are, in fact, proliferations. What she's seeing is a flower that has other little flowers shooting out of its center. And you will see this in anything that has a daisy-shaped flower occasionally, that those plants, they will just go ahead and sprout the seeds that are forming in the center, and they actually go ahead and grow up. They're kind of attractive. They're not necessarily something you can predict, and they're not necessarily long-lasting. It doesn't happen to everything. You know, in other words, they don't all do that. But it is very pretty, though. And no, you didn't do anything crazy, and the flower's not crazy either. So. Oh, that's nice. Well, you're working on all these comments about our various and sundry audios. I know that. You'll fix all that. So
I'm not sure if you suddenly hear me.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. We're not sure if we can
not
do anything.
Quite sure on
but we
that
just
one.
Want y'all to know that can hear, that we're hearing y'all.
Yes, and what I'm hearing is live stream. They weren't hearing you. They
right.
were hearing me, but radio
you.
Were okay. And I'm trying to figure that out as I get these images moved over, too. So I will keep me posted,
you're
guys.
Really
thank
good
you.
At you stand on your head very well, and we appreciate you.
Well, I greatly appreciate the folks that are giving us the heads up. We really appreciate those things. So sometimes you just never know, huh?
Well,
let's see.
Technical stuff is our bailiwick in radio, and on the other hand, sometimes it doesn't work. You know, that's just it. This is very cool. Brian, I love this. Brian's on the Gulf Coast, and he has sent us pictures of getting closer and closer as the hibiscus opens up. Now, this is one of my very, very favorites, of course. It's the Texas Star, and it is a big red petal. Most of the time, the red. There are other colors, but the red is the more normal one to see. And it is an absolutely beautiful, beautiful plant. I love how you got such a good close-up look, and you have a very good camera. It's delightful to see.
Got to be a Samsung.
See the inside of that. Now, don't do
I'm
that.
I'm messing with you. I'm messing with you.
My new iPhone will be here in 2 weeks.
We'll take pictures side by side and check it out.
We're going to do this. Yeah. We're going to have another competition, y'all. Watch out. But you know, I'm fortunate. Today is in fact Fisherman Day. Now, for those of you,
Almond Crunch Day.
It's Almond Crunch Day. It's Fisherman Day. It's Burnt Bacon Day. It's all kind of great things to eat. So I have to. Brian's got a Samsung. He wants you to know that.
That's what I'm talking about. Thank you.
It's a beautiful shot. Yeah. It is absolutely beautiful. Now.
Oh, and I'm giving the iPhone users just, you know, because I've always been a Samsung guy, but and it's always been because the camera.
The cameras are great. I use the Samsung camera for some of my things, but I have to tell you that the iPhone is terrific too. So now we can get into Google Pixel. No, can we talk about Google Pixel? And now it's Limelight Hydrangeas behind me. Don't you like how my plant clearly bloomed so you could put my head in the middle of it? The flowers, I pruned it because you prune hot Limelight at the beginning of winter or in the winter sometime because you want it to have plenty of time to bloom. At this point, it doesn't bloom until summer. And so it grows and blooms on the wood that it produces this year. So it's a beautiful, beautiful plant. However, this year, with the drought last summer, I lost quite a bit of the bottom of it, and it ended up being kind of just bare stems. So I did the pruning, but I didn't cut too much down. I cut more going up. And as a result, I have a crown of flowers today at supertalk.tv, which is kind of fun. That's really neat. Beautiful, beautiful. Oh, that's lovely. Really, really lovely. I'm a big fan of Hecara. I'm particularly a fan of anything really with brightly colored leaves. One of the questions in the Facebook group this week is about what to do after you get rid of all the mess in the shade and all you've got shade, you know, what do you plant there? And Hecaras are certainly one of the things. It's H-E-U-C-H-E-R-A. You'll find it under all kind of other names, but the species name is Hecara. So if you look that up, then when you go to the garden center, it won't matter what they call it, you'll recognize it. Different color of leaves, some that are more likely to be kind of wild looking, some that are not, but they go well together and they do well in the shade. So that's really lovely. And also this looks like a creeping Jenny and an impatien, which I think is just lovely. You can put impatiens in the shade, but if it's really, really deep shade, you may want to grow them in pots. Sometimes they get a little bit wet and don't do as well as they could. Lovely coleus, really nice. Beautiful, beautiful. We're working on the beautiful, beautiful. This is Bogachita wildflowers today. Very lovely. There are so many sunflowers and rudbeckias that bloom in the summer for us that when you see on the roadside or in someone's garden a round flower, daisy-shaped flower, and the center is yellow and the petals are also yellow, you are usually looking at one of our natives. We've got a native that does that that's one of the very most beautiful, beautiful of the sunflowers. It is a difficult plant to control in a garden bed, I will tell you that, and for that reason, I'm not going to recommend it as something to plant unless you have a space for it. Something else going on this week, I had several questions about really trying to figure out this whole business of how do you keep a plant smaller than it wants to be? This question came from Cassie.
Bonsai! Pat Morita's birthday was yesterday.
Well, that's a good day. Well, why not celebrate,
that's right.
You know, of all people? Come on. Well, and indeed, there is a certain – some people really like to prune. And so if you have a tree like a Japanese magnolia and you're trying to keep it smaller than the place it is, she says it's not a good plant to move, but she needs to keep it smaller. Yeah, you can prune it every time it blooms, but you also need to – not fertilize it very much and let it be a little bit more stressed than it would ordinarily be. Otherwise, you end up with a tree that can't ever put on flowers. So if the Japanese magnolia, for example, which is going to bloom before it puts on its leaves, is the plant you want to keep small, when it blooms, as soon as it blooms next spring, take it down. If you cut it now, you'll have some leaves come out and you might have a few flowers, but it won't be as pretty as it would be if you let it wait until after it flowers to start doing all that pruning. Give that a shot. See what you think. We have I love studies that don't have any end to them because you know that somebody else is going to pick up the thread and keep working on it. Why do we have so many tornadoes? Well, it's not all, you know, L. Frank Baum stuff. But there's an interesting bit of phenomenon. This is a Purdue University study that is ongoing. But I was happy to read that somebody is trying to figure this out. But it did answer a question that I also had. It seems to me we've always talked about Tornado Alley and the location of it. Well, now Tornado Alley is everywhere. And very few places in our part of the world don't have a tornado at one time or another. Some places that don't haven't had them. And unfortunately, we are in the situation where we have them over and again. What creates stormy regions? There are stormy regions on the earth. We think about this, you know, that we measure data and we look at there's places out under, in the ocean, for example, in the Pacific Ocean. Doesn't matter what day you go there, it's going to rain at some point between X time and the other time. That's just the way the weather is in that space. But there's not as much predictability for so many other things. The Department of Earth, Atmospheric, and Planetary Sciences, they cover it all at the College of Science at Purdue, is working on this. He's trying to figure out tornadoes, and I'm wondering really if he stays up late at night because it would make me nervous just to think about it. But what we have found is that indeed, using his computer models, taking a look at all of these various and sundry storms that he can document and record, we do in fact have severe thunderstorms and tornadoes to a greater extent in the central and eastern parts of the United States. We've assumed, because you're never supposed to do that, for years, what causes storms, and it's always been, the ideas have always been just as interesting as the storms, if you go back and read through some of the history. But in this particular case, this guy's not only got a weather van and, you know, satellites and all that to study, but he's also really working hard on a tremendous amount of gathering data from other places. He'd probably be looking around our house one of these days soon. We shall see. You know, there are days when you just have to feel a little bit froggy. And this is one of them. Stick around. This is the Garden Mama Show. It's good to be home.
Building a new home or remodeling an older home, Amazing Propane is for you. A propane tankless water heater, a propane generator, a propane gas grill and oven, propane fireplaces, even lighting. Propane, such a versatile, clean, cost-effective source of energy for any home. Propane, clean American energy. Visit mspropane.com to learn more.
Are you a business owner looking for help with HR benefits and payroll? MWG Employer Services offers a wide range of services and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget.
I was so overwhelmed with HR stuff. MWG Employer Services took all the stress out of it and even set up my payroll. I couldn't be happier.
MWG Employer Services is here to help you succeed. Call us today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWGEmployerServices.com.
And feel more beautiful.
You know, when a restaurant gets crazy in the kitchen, they call it being in the weeds. They talk about, we've all been there if we've worked in food service. You literally don't know if you're coming or going. You have a list in front of you or you have an order or you have whatever it is, but it's a moment and you have to move on through it. Guess what? You can hear me now. Hey, it's because we are no longer in our own weeds up here.
Well, I want to mention, you know, the guy that does all of the juggling of this system that doesn't get enough props is Houston McDavid. So, Houston,
we
he was like, do
you,
this.
Houston.
Put it
Thank
right here.
You.
I'm like, oh, man, this is
we
a new
We probably
one.
Woke him up. Yeah,
no,
but
he sounded like he'd had a cup of coffee or two. So, I said, man, I'm so sorry it's this early. But, no, Houston did a great job of resolving that. And if there are still issues, please, guys, let me know.
Let us know. Yeah, we appreciate you giving us the info so we can get to it.
Yeah.
But truly, you may hear our voices in the ether. You know what I mean? You're driving down the road or whatever's going on. There's a whole boatload of people and talent that keep us here, that lift us up to let us be here. So, Mark and Pascagoula.
Thanks for them. Yeah,
we really appreciate because guess what? Mark in Pascagoula says it's all good. He can hear
Boom.
Us.
Boom! That's what I'm talking about. That's why
like
Houston
it.
Makes that big money
That's
to take
right.
care of
That's
us.
Right.
And honestly, to keep a network like this running, I don't see how he does it. I mean, we're everywhere.
Did. He went gray overnight.
Yeah,
you understand?
We're everywhere that you can be. If you're in Germany and you want to listen
sure.
to us, you can do that. If you're sitting on the beach,
sure,
having a nice little Mai Tai
Libation.
Or something like yeah, watching the waves come in, and you've got to think about flowers. You can do that,
we're
and
here.
You can see them too.
We're here,
right there for you.
I actually know one person who gets up in Hawaii and watches us occasionally.
Yes.
Thank you. Good morning.
Send,
very
send us
morning.
Some pineapple pigs.
I am. I'm telling you, this Fisherman Day thing gives me the opportunity to tell you about the neatest thing that I did bring home, and that was a piece of bluefin tuna caught by, yes, my future son-in-law. So we have to thank him for that. It was great. It was really there. I'm not a deep sea fisher person, but I really appreciate other people who are.
Oh, I love going out. It's a long day when you go.
Yeah.
But man, you can come back with a gold mine.
All the sunscreen.
You know, there was an interesting report, and you know, I don't know if it was something that we need to consider, but more skin cancers and these things are happening, and it seemed that the report was insinuating that because we use so much sunscreen
now,
that the body is getting dependent.
This is making my point.
Yeah.
Since I was a kid, I have wondered about this because we used to only have a limited amount of time that we could be exposed to the sunlight because, you know, I'm really pale white. They didn't want to cook us. And unfortunately, in the advent of sunscreen, we don't have that concern as much. And I do think that there are some corollary figures in there. You still need to understand that sunscreen is not something that you apply once, first of all. And secondly, when you turn around and put insect repellent on top of it, the sunscreen may not work, so reapply. I mean, this is the South. These are the things we have to tell our friends who live farther north than us and have never experienced 70-degree nights and 80-degree nights and that kind of stuff.
Well, that, you know, the other day, I remember we were sitting here, and it was like 95 degrees and humid, and then you look down on the live sheet that you start the day with, and it says, first day of summer.
First.
It was like June 21st
right,
or something.
First.
And I'm like, I mean, where are these people coming up with? It must be like Michigan or something because summer started in basically late February here.
Someone said the other day, are we in the dog days? Yes. No, we're not.
Man,
we're
not
really
yet.
Not. Not quite yet.
Not quite.
That's a beautiful plant that I'm looking at up on the screen, supertalk.tv. I'm guessing that's a sedum. It's just lovely. One of the questions that I asked this week in social media is, what else makes it in the heat? And certainly the sedums are one thing. Whether it's autumn joy or whether it's some other form of sedum, that whole family, because they have succulent leaves, are able to put up with a lot of things that other stuff is not. My nasturtiums bit the dust this week. They went into stress and strain, and it is too hot for that particular species of plant, frankly. It's got to be that way. You got to let them go eventually. The pansies are gone. Well, there's still one pansy plant, but that's just because the plant looks okay. There's no flowers on it right now. I'm really happy to tell you that the questions that come into the Garden Mama group are pretty interesting. They're not as interesting as the ones y'all ask here. And certainly, I say that because y'all are more – people who are working with me on social media may have an interest today, but it's not something that they're still curious about. When you send us pictures of what you've just grown, we know that this has been going on for a period of time. When you send us questions about, for example, that beautiful coneflower that has the proliferations on it, all those kinds of things, that's stuff that's happening right now. But some of these questions can be informative. Yeah, by the way, tomato hornworms do turn pink when they get inside the fruit. That's a great picture. You hardly ever see that unless you happen to have that issue in your garden. But, yeah, they do that. That's really something. They're green when they're on eating the plant.
Paul was funny this week. We were talking about tomatoes and fruit, and he goes, "Hey, did your mama have like peach and apple trees?" I said, "Well, she had the apple trees, had fig and I think pear,
probably,
and
cooking pears."
And we were talking. It was funny because he said, "You know, on the farm, you eat around the worm." You know, said, I don't remember ever not having a worm. And said that was just part of the fruit or part of the vegetable. You know, you didn't even think about it, you know.
The question of perfect produce, which I say with loud peas because it's such a funny idea, it is one of the issues that is truly in the facing everybody. Mm-hmm. You talked about there's only one in that whole bucket of tomatoes that has even a dink on it. I'll eat a cracked tomato. I'm probably not going to search around too far for the worm in the plum, but, you know, if the plum is there and the worm is there, get the worm out and we'll see if what's left of the plum. My problem is always when we go into the overkill mode, and I do that, I say that when we're trying to control pests that really won't bother us, but do in fact reduce the use of the products that reduce the other pollinators and the other critters in the garden. I say that, and I can tell you that if I go to my house today and there are stink bugs on my tomatoes that have managed to make it past all of my barriers, I will literally be out there. No, I don't care how hot it is. I will be taking them off. And the first time you see stink bugs on your plant, you need to be taking them off. Get a jar or a bottle or a cup or whatever you can, put some bleach in it and pluck those babies off and drop them in and let them go. They multiply every 8 days in the same way that aphids do, only they're much better at it. So we don't need any more stink bugs. Those are the kind of issues that I want you to always know there's an alternative before you have to just tear up the whole place. I grant you, if you're growing fruit, peaches and plums especially, and you know they're going to have insects in them, and you want to take them to market, you're not on Paul's farm or your own farm, you want to make sure you're getting that. Use the fruit tree spray, because that's really the way that you can keep that fruit clean. But there are natural alternative methods of doing that. So, anyway, just things to consider as we go into the summer when we're looking at what we have to eat and what we're going to eat. Trey is cracking me up today, as usual. I don't really think about piggies sunbathing, but there is a certain joy to that.
Yeah, I love it. I sent you the geezers.
Well, I sent you the geezers, which was one of my very favorite nature memes this week. It doesn't really belong here, but I'll tell you all about it anyway because I'm an old geezer. You know, I say that with great charm and love in my heart. But if you walk up on that group of older people, you know, maybe need that sign that says geezers will erupt. You know. Because we have been known to. Isn't that a beautiful century plant? Do you know that our friend Mark dug that up? I so appreciated Mark being willing to sit in here last week. And y'all were fun to listen to, by the way. I listened a few days later.
He did a great job.
But
you trained him well.
Thank you. That century plant is beautiful. We're seeing more and more of them. I believe that this is the time of year when they do start doing their thing. But I saw a couple on the hillsides on the side of Interstate 55 as I was driving to Louisiana last week. There were literally, you could see the thing growing. I mean, you know, because they go so fast once they get started. It's just a beautiful plant. You have to have room for it. And you have to not mind that your neighbors are all going to come over and stand around and watch it. Because when you have a 30-foot stalk on something, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a big deal. It's a really neat thing. This is not mixed metaphor day, but I'm mixing my metaphors. And that's probably, you know, we all kind of do that. I'm looking at some stories this week. This has been an interesting week. I didn't have time to read everything that I wanted to read, but there's a whole lot of research that is being released at this point in the year. You know, there's conferences and there's workshops and there's all of these big conventions. And so all the scientists have to go and present because, frankly, if you don't publish, you kind of perish in that academic situation, that system. University of Copenhagen, and I had no idea that this was a thing. They have a Faculty of Humanities, which one would expect, but they study some of the most interesting bits and pieces. They're trying to figure out what people like and what people do, and in this one, who people actually are. I didn't know there was anybody who did not have an internal conversation with themselves. And I don't mean the inner voice that says, don't do that, although that is part of it. You know, your inner voice very seldom says, come on. No, well, it'll say that, but you shouldn't listen most of the time. But where other pieces of it, of course, are this whole thing, when you don't have that inner voice, apparently you don't process what I say to you. For example, I may tell you that it's time to consider whether your crepe myrtles are raining on you, even though it's not raining outside. You may have insects in the trees. We have to talk about that. But if you don't hear the inner voice when you step under that tree saying, wow, why is it raining? You know, you may not understand what I'm saying either. It's an interesting point. I look forward to the folks at Copenhagen studying this a little bit more. Not everybody shares the experience of an inner voice. I had no idea. Well, but I know who does have one. Hey, Mabel, welcome in. Thank you very much for calling today. What's going on? Oh, you're composting.
excuse me. I didn't ask him about the putting potting soil in my compost.
Mm-hmm.
I got some of everything in the pot.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have no soil in it. So I don't know, do you put, you know, potting soil in it or not?
You can use compost by itself if it feels right, but you can always mix it with potting soil too. I mix my compost with potting soil. I mix it with ground up bark sometimes. Sometimes I mix it with sand if I want to start some seeds and it feels a little heavy. You know, I'll loosen it up a little bit that way. But yeah, absolutely.
Okay, what can I put in it?
In fact, one of the things I was going to talk about today is the different kinds of potting soils and mixes. If you're going to use something that you want to take this and put it into a container and you've got some good compost, I'm going to go and get just a bag of from forestry suppliers. I'm going to go and get their basic potting soil. I like that. You know, I always like those products. But if it's something where I need a little bit of manure in it or maybe something like that, or I feel
like... Yeah, just ask you about that.
Yeah.
What manure would I use? You know,
well,
you got the rabbit and you got the...
You know, and really they all have a benefit, but I will say this. If I have to pick one, I'm going to get a bag of chicken manure because I like chicken. It works well. It works real well. You can get that at the co-op or most of the garden centers. Mushroom compost is another thing that you might buy that really works well for this.
Now I put that in the most of my plants going to be in pots.
Mm-hmm.
Do I put bricks under the pot so they can drain?
I always like to elevate because then when I go to move that container, it may root into the ground if I don't have it elevated a little bit, and that's too much trouble.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Now, do you get, excuse me, the worms? You know, somebody told me they get those worms like at the Walmart, you know, but you plant them.
I don't know.
At the base.
Well, I don't know. I'll have to explore that. I don't know that about that.
Yeah, I was thinking, I'm going to ask her about that.
Okay. Well, I'll find out about it. Mm-hmm. I'll go by and figure that out this week.
Now, I'm already making them a pass off of my plants. You know, you say you can plant anything you want to. In July.
Mm-hmm.
So I got everything in there then.
Yep, it's good. Okay. Believe it or not, we are to July, and it's time to start thinking about the next round of vegetables. It sure is. People, you know, we look up and it's August, but if you didn't start that squash, if you didn't get going, you don't have time to get it. So now's the time to do all that, for sure.
All right, then.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Have
and
a
I'm
wonderful
glad you're
weekend.
Back.
Thank you. Have a wonderful weekend, Mabel. This is... you know, this is going to be hot. There's no question but that it's going to be hot. So we just have to take it as it comes. If you find something you want to binge watch, you might do that in the middle of the day. Go to the movies. Let's talk about inside, too, when we get back. This is the Garden Mama Show.
When it comes to returning money to Mississippians, Treasurer David McRae is on a roll. He's already returned almost $100 million in unclaimed money to Mississippians through the Treasury's Unclaimed Money Program. Now, he's refocused the state's college savings initiatives, Max and Impact, to emphasize technical, trade, and teacher-focused career jobs and skills Mississippi needs. Don't let another day go by without getting a jump start on a career or getting back the money that's yours. Visit Treasurer David McRae at treasury.ms.gov.
Hi, I'm Sammy the Shovel, reminding you how important it is to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig anywhere in or around any homeowner's yard. It doesn't matter if you're putting in a new mailbox, installing a fence, French drain, sprinkler system, even a flower bed. You need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig, or you could end up responsible for a water line leak, utility line with gas or propane, or even worse. Safety is in your hands. Call 811 every dig, every
at Keegan.
Wow, now everybody can hear everything. That's wonderful. Y'all are great. So much going on today.
You can almost hear the bumblebee's wings buzzing while they fly up to that beautiful yellow flower.
Seriously, isn't that a beautiful sunflower?
And, you know,
it's just lovely.
I mentioned that, and I walk back in the backyard in breaks every now and again, get some fresh air, and it was funny. You see this one dangling honeybee, upside down and dead, and it's just floating around in the air, hanging off a tree. And you go over there, and you look, and it's one little bitty silk lining of a spider who must have laid that out perfectly last night, and he's going to wake up this morning and have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That's nature, right? Right.
Sorry about that, honeybee, but on the other hand, the spiders are important,
too. The spiders
are
going to have a good time. I watched something, and I don't know if you've seen this, but it was I'm a junkie for just YouTube and this, that, and the other, but it was a video of a spider, and it's when the wind blows, how they actually can fly from here to there. Not 10 feet. I mean hundreds hundreds of feet.
Yeah.
And
it's
they'll
astounding.
Spit that, you know, web up in the air in an arc. The air grabs it, and they can know it's coming, basically. They spit it up and time it, and then the air picks them up, the wind, and carries them. And they don't really care where they're going. They just don't want to be there.
Exactly.
And it is one of the coolest things. If you haven't seen that, but you wonder, how did that spider get here?
Well, and the thing that's so cool to me about it is that we don't, because we take all of these things so for granted, you know, there's black widows and brown recluse spiders and things that we actually should avoid, but the rest of them are out there working pretty hard to keep things going. And if you just admire for a moment, it's not all Halloween and scary. It's some of the most fascinating and elegant way of being that creatures can develop. And it's a spider, because think how hard life must be. If you couldn't do all those things, you know, if you couldn't spin that web and get out of there, if you couldn't, you know, catch your breakfast, I mean, that kind of, how would they survive? Well, they survive because they're really clever organisms, and that's happily we get to enjoy them. This is, we're all starving from tomatoes this morning, y'all, by the way, and admiring beautiful, beautiful petunias. Oh, my goodness. So many good questions today. Corinne's got something eating her green bean seedlings. And Anna's got something eating the whole bell pepper plant, the stems and the plant and the peppers and all. I'm going to go with Anna's probably got a deer problem. And indeed, there could be a similar problem for Corinne, except that there's also a critter that will come up out of the ground and eat the stem of that tiny little green bean plant and just pull it and it disappears. You don't know what happened to it, but it's actually been taken under earth and consumed there. So if you don't see any remains, for example, if you had slugs or snails or something like that, you would at least see their slime trails. You might not see any more plant, but you would see the evidence that they had been there. And if you don't have any of those things, you kind of have to figure out it might have been deer. And we do have deer will eat just about anything, you understand. And I'm not going to say they don't eat bell peppers, because they probably do. Paula is thinking about putting in a new garden for next year, and she wanted to know what to do besides get that soil, you know, get it tilled up. She says it's beautiful earth. If you're going to do the tilling this year, I would certainly put some mulch on top of there to help reduce the weeds over the next period of time. If you feel like you need a soil test, this would be the time to do it. But you can also literally, if it's in the sun and you have access to water, just plant something. You don't have to till it all up to do that. Throw out some zinnia seeds. Throw out something like that that you can just make sure the soil is capable of germinating seeds and starting them. And that's a real good place to start. If you decide that you need to build a raised bed, then obviously we want to bring in other products to add to that in terms of the soil amendments to make that soil drain better and also, frankly, to make it function better. I'm still talking about my friends at Phillips Bark in Brookhaven. Someone in the Facebook group, a woman named Ann, wanted to know what mix to put in. She's amplifying her raised beds. And interestingly enough, this is a project that I'll be doing at some point this summer in advance of the Bottle Tree Garden Tour. I'm looking at their organic planting mix. It's a real good product. I've used it before in containers to grow stuff, but I think in raised beds rather to grow things. But I think as an addendum, it's going to be even better. And I'll probably also put in some of their soil conditioner. But those two things are going to make a soil that works in a raised bed, won't stay too wet, won't get too dry. And that's really what you're looking for in that sort of situation. It's real important that we, you know, that we get the soil the right, that we get the right soil, but that we also have another issue. There's no deer in the little bell pepper world. Well, maybe you have a neighbor. a squirrel can pull the plant out of the ground and eat the pepper, but they would leave some residue. Any other mammal, like small mammal, dog or something like that, that might have run into it by accident would have left some residue. So the deer is the only thing that could eat it in a bite. However, if there's no deer in the neighborhood, I'm kind of stumped too. This is one of those cases where perhaps a wildlife camera would be a good idea. I know people who put bells in their garden. They'll put little strings of bells because when their neighbors come to pick the blueberries, it makes noise. I don't know that it would stop anybody, but it would certainly get your attention. I like that. Paula says she'll throw out some mustard greens. That's perfect. Just see if things will come up, and then you know what you're looking at. If, for example, you threw out something as simple as mustard greens or zinnias into an area that you want to grow in later on and nothing would come up, that's the time to do a soil test or check your drainage, both of those things. Caterpillars are coming along. We're looking at some really beautiful shots this morning at superdoc.tv, and that's really very cool. Oh, fun. Sandy and Ray are headed to the Tomato Fest in Crystal Springs. I love that fest. I've been there a few times, and it's really fun. There's a lot going on. If you've never been to the Tomato Museum and you don't know all the stories, you should go. And even if you have been, you should go because the tomatoes are so great. We have wonderful stories about tomato culture in Mississippi that begin, for the most part, with seeds in the lining of clothes from people who came here from other parts of the world, particularly Italy in this case, and just a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful story, beautiful tradition, and a pretty cool fiberglass tomato that's as big as this studio. So it's really very nifty, something to think about. Sure, Anna, glad to help. Let's see. Birds have started, oh my goodness, birds have started flying in. That's a good one, too. There's a video, and a beautiful, beautiful, walked around that web all week to keep it from knocking it down. Yes, we do that. One of my very favorite things that I ever saw when I lived in the real country, rural area in Louisiana, was to see the spiders on the porch and to see that there were mosquitoes trapped in the web. Made me so happy. You have no idea. They could just have gotten the fleas. I'd have been even happier. But these are critters that work for us. And if we can Sometimes the best thing is for someone older to be all paranoid or afraid or traumatized or whatever. Not that you had a spider bite and almost died. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who have irrational fears of these things. And, in fact, sometimes that's the best thing for the next generation is, well, grandma was afraid of that. I'm not afraid of that. You know, I love that. My goodness, we got to get out of here and come back and talk to you for about another hour. I hope you're appreciating all of Lance's work and Houston's work so you can hear me this morning. I'm the Garden Mama. Stick around.
We have one voice, the voice of agriculture. We have one job, growing the products you need every day. We have one mission, fighting for agriculture and rural Mississippi. We have you in mind, caring for your private property rights. We are the Mississippi Farm Bureau Federation, 100 years and counting. Become a member today at msfb.org.
You know that nowadays, most people go online to look at a business before they spend their money. Do you have an old, outdated website or just a Facebook page and still not bringing in customers? Targeted digital advertising from SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital's highly trained and trusted staff is the answer. We're ready to work with you to help your business capitalize on the power of digital marketing. Call 601-991-2305 or go to stmmdigital.com to get started today.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green, here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome in. Good morning. Welcome into the Garden Mama Show. We are making our way into summer. We're trying very hard to get our sound out to everybody and everything. Some stuff's working, some stuff's not working, but we're here. We know you're here,
too.
That
was on me there.
We appreciate y'all. You don't have to do that. This is radio. No one will ever know.
No, I was on the phone there for a minute. I had the volume turned down in my ear so I could talk to Ray, and he was messing with me a little bit. So, yeah. We're good to go.
Ray, it's not his voice on a commercial. It's mine. I'm actually an AI, and I do his voice on occasion.
That's what I was telling him. Like, look, man, I don't like the sound of my voice enough for them to put me on commercials. I try to run and hide. Hey, do you want to know? No.
I'm out of here. Weather, yes.
Yeah. I'll do
Delta
that.
Weather all day.
Mm. Yeah, but again, I'm not a big fan of listening to myself talk. But and I don't want to be ostracized, you know, when I go into the Delta and they go, man, that was a terrible commercial you did. Or, man, my sunflower crop's dead because of
people,
you.
So. People are so kind to me. People recognize my voice everywhere I go, and they never say, I really hate your voice. I turn it off every time. People are too nice to me.
I think I turned mine off in my head.
I appreciate it. See, there's that voice in your head again.
Yeah, it just says, hey, quit talking.
The voice in my head yells a lot. The voice in my head yells at me, but even more often yells at other people that I can't actually yell at. Sort of helpful, sort of not. But anyway, on our text line today, y'all are just doing such cool things, bringing me so many wonderful, wonderful pictures and notions and ideas. Lots of spider stuff we're going into because, you know, I'm not the only person who appreciates them. I appreciate that. What caterpillar is this in the carrots? Well, I think that it looks like a black swallowtail caterpillar to me. And the swallowtails are known for that being their favorite food. So I'm going to say, search up the black swallowtail caterpillar larvae, L-A-R-V-A, and see if I'm right. I believe I'm right. Beautiful, beautiful picture from Loosedale, my grandmother's hometown. Thank you, Sue, for sending that. This is when you get a chance to come to supertalk.tv and see this, you'll realize we need to frame this one, okay? Not that everybody doesn't send great pictures, but this is a moment in time. This is clouds gathering and a rainbow and blue sky and gray sky all over Greene County. And it's just beautiful from her pasture. It's just beautiful. Really, really inspiring thing to see. Let's see. Mark's Katrina Rose, the Peggy Martin is blooming again. I'm happy to see that. I do see that bloom sometimes more than once in a year, no question. There's always that oddball. I had a flowering quince that I pruned the top of it, and it put out a flower on one of the bottom branches for no good reason. But there it was. I appreciate that. That's nice. Today is also camera day, and y'all are taking great advantage of it. There's the picture from Greene County. He's really good. He just got that one up on the screen already for us. And for those of you who complain that it's a radio show, yes, I'm still talking, but I am going to talk about what's on the TV part because it's so cool. It's so beautiful. If you are seeing me in a shot of my front garden, and I'm sitting in my front garden. I couldn't sit where I'm sitting because I'm sitting at the desk here, but in the front garden, there's a whole bunch of more flowers there. So you wouldn't see me. You would see something else. By the way, that one flower, the rose that's kind of sticking out over to the side in that particular picture, it is one that I have not tried to kill. Someone sent me a text and said, is that one of the roses you've been trying? Because I have four roses in my front garden from when it used to be for Rose Garden. You dig them up and they still come back up. But they're not, it's just not right for them. So they don't do well. This one's not. This one's one that I planted and it never gave me any trouble. It made a nice shrub and it continues to do so. I like that very, very much. I have just discovered that, indeed, today is Guy Day, G-U-Y Day. Now, you're a guy. I'm a gal. People are offended by those terms sometimes. People will say, for example, I was watching the competition, the trials for the Olympic team this week and different pieces of it and watching some swimming and watching some of the gymnastics and whatnot. And I was interested to see that they, generally speaking, call the male members guys, but they call the female members girls, even though they're clearly of age in 99% of the cases. So I don't know what the right word is. Does anybody have a – we can put forth – nobody's going to listen to us, but we can make a decision around here. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, Andrea, I'm with you. Early on, we were taught that voice in our head is not necessarily supposed to come out of our mouth, and people might not like to hear everything we're thinking. Well, that's true. I'm told that on a frequent basis, even today. Even today.
Yeah, I made sure when you got here, I said, look, I don't care what you're thinking today.
See?
That's how we start. I love this. I learned so much. You know, it's so fun to get to come in here and mix it up. And enjoy learning and seeing all these wonderful pictures. I mean, because we have
y'all
great. The Superdog family is amazing.
They're
everywhere.
You know.
You'll bump into somebody and they're like, you know, I listen to y'all every day.
You
want to say, what's your name on the text line?
Yeah,
or what's your
right.
phone number? But you know,
you can put your name on the text line, by the way, folks.
But we have so many that do listen that don't participate. And I encourage you guys, if you have something to say or share, or you want to get on air, you want to talk to Garden Mama, or you have some pictures, we love this. And thank you for allowing us to share your lives with our family out
there. So appreciate you.
It makes
another dimension, and it makes things different. It makes things.
And as you said, you know, it is radio.
Yeah.
And you do a great job of describing. I think the pictures also add color to that, in that
absolutely.
We get a visual reference sometimes. And you're here as the plant doctor. So seeing where the problem
is. I'm not a doctor.
But you are a plant doctor.
I don't play one on the radio.
I disagree. We've talked about that.
Yeah, we have.
But no, I mean, being someone who diagnoses issues and problems people have with their greenery and growing, it's good to have a reference. I've learned so much from having that reference.
Well, you're very kind to me, and I appreciate that because I could not be here looking this terrific in the midst of all these flowers if it was not for my producer's decision to make me do this. Yeah, sometimes you have to take us old radio types and say, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. Let's see what Wes has going on here. Tomatoes and Legos. Oh, Wes, I love it in Starkville. That's wonderful. If y'all are not in Lego world, you need to open your eyes because this is really fun. That's delightful. Thank you, Wes. Good looking tomato, too. Kids, not bad. Tomato looks great, too. That's fun. You know, there's a new family tree out there. The tomatoes and potatoes are not what all we thought. I have always believed that there's more to know about that particular plant family. Let's face it, there are plants in there, the tomatoes, the peppers, the eggplant, for heaven's sake, that we just love and wait for and savor. And then there's others that you probably better not eat, you know, some members of the Solanum that are absolutely not edible by humans or sometimes by any others. There are 1,300 species in the tomato potato family. It is one of the most diverse of the genera, the plant groups, in the entire world. But what they're trying to do, that we're trying to understand the differences, you know. I follow Gary Bachman online, of course, and see that he's now got an absolutely black tomato, a GMO tomato that's absolutely the darkest thing I've ever seen. I'm fascinated by that. And these folks doing the research at Penn State, which is a tremendous horticulture school, by the way, were working on these kinds of things. But they realized that they didn't know enough about the family tree. The family tree was just there, but it hadn't been looked into in the way that we can look into things now. So they've really been working on this whole different variety of things of the phylogeny. I'm sorry. Yeah, phylogeny. That's the right word. Family tree of these plants really, really does make a difference in our understanding how they're related to each other and why we can eat some and why we really shouldn't eat others. It's a change. There's going to be new posters. There's going to be new things, you know, new descriptions and new bits and pieces of information that we have not had before about all of this. And that's kind of cool since they are just about our favorite to eat. Now, I did mention this in the previous hour, but I wanted to make sure that I say to you, because I'm getting this question every day, my tomatoes won't ripen. They're just sitting there. Well, I have some like that, too. The good news is the cherry tomatoes are making. I don't have a cherry tomato plant right now, but I see them in other people's gardens, and I see plenty of them at the market. It's hard to get tomatoes to ripen completely in weather as hot as we have had in the month of June in Zone 8. So if yours are not ripening, just be patient or decide that you're going to have fried green tomatoes and just enjoy it, because that's really that's the bottom line of it. They're going to ripen when they can, but 70, 75 degree nights are very difficult. Make it rough on them. Make it hard for them to come on and ripen. When we talk about things, the way we say them often makes a big difference. If I say to you, I recognize that your tomatoes are not ripening, that doesn't mean that they won't ripen. It doesn't mean that they aren't going to ripen. It just means that they're not right now. If I say to you, oh, be careful, that coffee is hot, you won't necessarily think of the McDonald's lawsuit, but you will be aware that you probably need to put the little sleeve around the cup because it's going to burn your hand. But if I say the coffee is not hot or the pepper is not hot, what do you think? Does it mean it's cold? Does it mean it's room temperature? What does that mean? The difference in what we understand how not affects us is very, very different. What the scientists at New York University at NYU are working on now is the understanding of how it shades our understanding, how these combinations get built in our brains. It's a fascinating area of study. This is processing negative remarks. And the reason I say this to you is that it is a spectrum. Not hot isn't necessarily cold in terms of coffee. It's not necessarily mild in terms of a pepper. But our brain processes these things to give them their meaning. And human brains do it better, apparently, than others do. How we mitigate the circumstance that we're talking about changes when we say not. I love that. Can I talk to Mike in Houston for a moment?
Well, he said he could not talk because he was in the car.
And, oh, okay.
But he did want me to relay some info to you.
All right.
And he was talking about his morning glories. And he had a really interesting way of creating a very lightweight economical fence. And he was using catfishing line to string between trees. And that allows them to run. And we talked for a while. But he said next year he was going to grow an American flag for this time of year with his morning glories using the same setup, using the fishing line kind of fence. And so, yeah, we just had
very
a – he wanted me to tell you hello and that he was driving and couldn't talk. But I found
drive
that –
drive safely, Mike.
But, you know, those are the types of things like that. I mean, just fishing line fence. And
love
he
that.
Says, man, they'll climb on that stuff and it keeps them in rows. And so I can't wait to see the 4th of July morning glories next year.
I'm in the midst of trying to figure out where I'm going to put my blanket. I have a four-inch square cotton trellis. Cotton string trellis, mm-hmm. which is basically what he's talking
right.
about, except he's doing stripes and I'm doing squares.
Mm-hmm.
And I love to do morning glories and moonflowers so that they bloom at the end of the summer because it's daytime and nighttime. Well, that's usually pretty easy. This year, I have managed to come up with a package of 4 o'clock seeds. So I have a 4 o'clock in the afternoon, night flowers and morning flowers. Is it going to work in a hot summer? I don't know, but I'm going to give it a try. And I have been trying to decide. I may go to the string notion. I have a big roll of, it's not fishing line, but it's another form of that same sort of stuff. I might have to be, I'm not going to grow a flag. That's too big for my space. But I think he might be onto something. I can add another round of things for them to grow up on by using that nylon. I like that. Really, really smart. Tomatoes and Legos. Y'all are so cute. Let's see.
I love the rosemary plant that she says is out of control, but to me it's just, it looks like something that would smell absolutely beautiful. Huge. That thing's awesome. I'll have it up on the screen for
Darren long. Darren and Jackson, this is such a sweet story, and I'm going to get choked up if I try to tell it, but thank you. I appreciate it very, very much. I'll try to put it together in a form that doesn't make me tear up. That's very sweet. Y'all are good at that. Y'all do that to me. Bermuda grass lawn gets the brown patch fungus. Now, that is unusual. Let me just let you know that. Usually Bermuda is in so much sun and has such good drainage that the fungus doesn't have a chance to get started. It clears up after the two treatments. Yes, it does. But it comes back every year. I would get a soil test done, and I would also check the drainage in that Bermuda lawn just because there may be an underlying problem. If the Bermuda can grow as happily as it should, there shouldn't be a problem with this that can't be controlled with a spray or two of fungus to get it to run away. However, brown patch does come and go. So if you have, for example, St. Augustine, or if you have centipede, or if you have zoysia, and you have the brown patch, you see it for a while, and then you see it again later, and later on, it'll get bigger. And then it'll get smaller, and that this has to do with the weather conditions. So I'm not saying it's impossible for Bermuda, but it is unusual. So if it's not controllable with the fungicides, I'd do a soil test and just see if we've got another problem that needs to be taken care of. Thank you, Jeremy. It's a good question. Appreciate it. Really, really thank you. Debbie in Ocean Springs. That's a magnificent rosemary shrub. It is beautiful. She says it's the only thing that she can grow. You know why? Because you have excellent draining sandy soil in that particular spot, or at least a soil that drains very, very well, and you do not overwater. So, because rosemary grows, you understand, on the edge of the Mediterranean Sea in nature. It grows in a rocky, kind of sandy sort of soil, and it grows where its roots can go down easily into the soil, but where water sheds away from it pretty quickly, too. So those are both of the qualities that I can see in this rosemary. I'm growing my other rosemary finally wore out. It was 20 years old, but it got used up and wore out. And now I have one growing, a cutting I took from it growing in a clay pot, and it's doing very well because it has to have great drainage and it has to have full sun, and it really, really likes to be left alone. Unlike you and me, we appreciate each other's company. That's why we're here on the Garden Mama Show.
so pure is the morning dew. Terrell gon' love this Friday too. For eyes they talk and say, come on, what killed me, baby?
Running a business is tough. If you're struggling with HR benefits and payroll, you're not alone. Many businesses just don't have the resources to keep up. That's where MWG Employer Services comes in. We provide a full range of employer services with everything from payroll to benefits to HR services and compliance, and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget. We're a Mississippi-based company that can help you focus on what you do best, growing your business. Call MWG Employer Services today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWG Employer Services.
Superior. It's more than a name. It's a promise that we make to our customers to provide you the highest quality U.S. farm-raised catfish at your favorite restaurant, your family reunion, or on your dinner table. Hey, this is Steve Azar, and I want to let you know that with Superior Catfish, you know the next bite is as good as the first, time after time, made possible by your friends and neighbors here in Mississippi. Remember, there's catfish. Then there is Superior Cat.
Talk to Mike in Greenville. He's not going to like my answer. Is he still there?
He's calling back.
Okay. Here's the answer.
Yeah,
here's the answer. No.
Yeah, nothing. Right. He called a couple of weeks ago and was, you know, still searching for that miracle formula that grows grass in dense shade. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure he's trying to listen right now.
Well, someone else had asked on the Facebook group about what plants, and of course the answer is things like variegated vinca with the purple flower and hostas and one thing and another, but there's not a turf grass. If you plant, for instance, you can plant monkey grass. Okay. Hey, Mike, welcome in. I only have bad news. I'm sorry. there's not a lawn grass that will grow in that situation. All right, can you hear me? Okay, put him on.
Garden Mom?
Okay, you're there. All right. Hey, Mike.
Yes. All right, I beat the odds.
Okay.
I found out, like as I told you several years ago, I have a lot of shade tree in my yard. I found a product called Black Beauty Dense Shade.
Yeah.
Now, it's like azolla grass.
Yeah, it's sort of that. Is it growing well? Has it been there for 3 years?
It's been there now. This is my second year.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I keep it watered.
Yeah.
But it's not as bright green as it was the first year.
No.
So I was going to ask you, what fertilizer could I use?
Whatever the company recommends. I'm going to tell you that this is a problem that goes on forever, okay? If you want to grow lawn grass in shade, you will be spending a whole lot of time and effort to do it, and eventually you'll have to thin the trees because it has to have light. Now, I'm not saying that the grass won't grow there for a while, but it doesn't make a lawn because, as you say, it's paler green now. It needs some fertilizer. Probably a slow-release fertilizer for lawns is going to turn it as green as it can get. But whether or not it can continue, you know, to be mowed and turn into an actual lawn is a different question. We have a lot of other things, though, that will do beautifully in that circumstance, and you can mow them and walk on them. They're just not grass. We have, you know, for instance, monkey grass, which is a O-P-H-I-O-G-N-O-N plant. You see it everywhere, a little low-growing dark monkey grass, and you can mow that and walk on it. But you can also walk on a bunch of different ground covers. It's just a matter of what you decide to work on. And in your case, you've decided to work on, tell us the name of the grass again.
Black Beauty Dense Shade.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's the only one that I'm aware of. I've known people who could keep it going for 3 years and then it didn't. Then it died out. It got too thin.
I had to do a lot of tilling and fertilizing the ground with a starter fertilizer to start with.
Yep.
But anyway,
don't
one
get
more
too
question, please.
Don't get too close to those trees with your tiller. That's the other problem.
All right.
Yes,
I have tomato plants that have been up for about a month.
Mm-hmm.
They're growing like a weed, but I do not have any blooms.
Mm-hmm.
They're about 3 foot tall.
What do you fertilize with?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Do I need to use a liquid fertilizer?
No, but you need to use something. At this point, the nights are too hot for them to bloom, or they might bloom, but they won't be able to set fruit. But in order to get them into that blooming point of view, you do need to use a fertilizer that's made for flowering vegetables like tomatoes. It might be something called vegetable garden food. It might be, you know, there's any number of names for it. But it needs to have a complete fertilizer. It needs to have nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, and also all of the minor elements. But it needs to have them in lower nitrogen numbers. Sometimes what happens to us, our soil is so rich that we put fertilizer in, and basically all we do is grow green leaves. We don't ever get any flowers or fruit because it's just too rich. So you're looking for a fertilizer that's made for the vegetable garden, and you want to use it a little bit and see if you can't keep the plants nice and healthy. So as soon as they can bloom, they will. And it's been so hot at night right now, as I was saying before, even people whose tomatoes have set can't necessarily ripen them right now. I'm having fried green tomatoes this weekend at my house because I have some that have been sitting there for 3 weeks and still haven't ripened. It's just,
all right, well, I appreciate your help.
It's a weather phenomenon.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate you. Take care of yourself. Yeah, tomatoes, if your tomatoes are 3 feet tall right now, July 1st coming up, you know, here in a minute, then you're going to have the healthiest, happiest tomato at the end of the summer that's going to be able to start blooming and start fruiting. That's not going to be a problem. Right now, your job is to keep that plant healthy and happy. Depending on how it goes, that might be fertilizing and watering and nothing else, but it also might be keeping an eye out for some of the spots and whatnot that can form on the leaves. I don't really understand this question. Someone texted last week about it in Franklin County. But if you've got spotted leaves on tomatoes, yes, that can be a form of blight. But the question is, are there any vegetables that this doesn't affect? Well, it doesn't affect everything all the time, and it's not the same organism that would be, you know, taking advantage of one situation as another. Part of the way that we avoid fungus diseases on leaves of things like beans or greens or anything else is by good air circulation around the plants and around the garden itself. So that's one piece of it. The other is, of course, watering practices and whether things are too wet. And always noticing if you've got the start of a leaf spot disease, that you get rid of that plant or those plants that are affected so the rest of them don't get affected as well. Some things are in the soil, some things are not. So the ones that are, we can keep away from those problems with a little bit of mulch around those vegetable plants. So there's several different strategies here. I'm not exactly sure about the question also asked about solar sterilization, which is very powerful and does a wonderful job, but yes, does require for the garden to be empty for that period of 6 to 8 weeks in the late summer when you want the sunshine to do the work that you can't otherwise do, which is to kill the weed seeds and some of the pathogens at a depth that, you know, 6 or 8 inches anyway to help you. Let's see, the leaves are turning yellow. String beans are turning yellow. I think if it's not a fertilizer problem, it's a problem that we're only going to address by soil test. My sense is that because these things don't usually all go wrong at once, and when they do, in theory, it's usually a problem with the pH of the entire site. So I would do a soil test in that area and certainly use some fertilizer right now to see if you can bring things around. But you're probably going to need to do a soil test and do a little more work on it with lime if you continue to have yellowed leaves on everything, despite using some fertilizer. So I think that's a good way to look at that question. It's not a small problem, but it may not be as big a problem as it feels like right this minute. Give yourself some time and see if you can't get it to work better. Okay? Okay. I think that's, I like that notion that we're going to look at one thing. We realize we've got spots on the leaves. So does that affect other things? It can, but it's not necessarily the same spotting disease. We talk about if you have, for example, a row of shrubs and the shrub on the far left gets a leaf spot, chances are that the leaf spot is going to move through the hedge. Same thing is also true of insects, that they'll move on from one to the next to the next. And when that happens, of course, we appreciate diverse plantings because sometimes they can't move from the one to the other. So it's all, these are all pieces of the puzzle that we try to put together when we're working on deciding these things. I had a good question about rooting lantana. I trust that I gave a good answer as well. This is my thing about rooting lantana and any kind of woody perennial like that. They can be rooted from the wood part, but they're going to root more easily, really like now, when you've got a soft bit of growth, a new growth at the top, maybe 4 inches of it is still very green. Sometimes it's more than that, but you don't need but about 4 inches. Mix up. This is a case where we're going to use either one of those seed starting mixes or potting mix that is combined with sand or perlite. I like perlite for this very much. What you're trying to do, just like when we root anything, we're trying to hold the plant in place, give it an environment that can start rooting, and also not have it be so wet that the end of the little stem closes up before it can push out a root. So it's a balance. So if you do this, take a 4-inch cutting, take the leaves off the bottom half, and put it into a mix of potting soil and sand, potting soil and perlite. Or if you don't have any of that, go anywhere, you know, any Dollar Tree store kind of place that has this, the lesser of these deals. You can get a smaller bag of seed starting mix. If you want to start a lot of seeds, obviously go on and go get you a bigger bag, but it's one of those things you may not use a lot of it, so it's okay to buy it in a small bag and use that. When you do those products, they are full of peat. And as you know, because you listen to me, peat moss takes a hard deal to get it wet, takes a hard deal to get it to dry back out. So you want to water that soil, that seed starting soil, or that potting mix that you've put in the perlite with, get those things nice and damp, and don't let them dry out while the rooting process is going on. You may even want to turn a jar on top of the pot that has the lantana cutting in it, or put it into a plastic bag. I'm not going to seal it all the way up. We don't need that much humidity. We have plenty in the air. But just in terms of keeping the soil damp while the plant roots, it's not a bad idea. Never a bad idea. Well, let's see. Okay, we planted some spaghetti squash. Congratulations. And they did it. They've saved the seeds from a purchased squash. That can be very, very terrific. And, in fact, you know that you like the way that one particular tastes, you know, so you get in that family. It's growing great, lots of flowers, but no fruit. If you will look, it's like any other kind of squash. If you're getting both male and female, some have the little squash behind them and some don't. If you're getting both of the kinds of fruit, I mean both the kinds of flowers, rather, you can get the fruit by pollinating it yourself. Take a little paintbrush, a little swab, something tiny. Take the pollen off the one and put it on the one that has the fruit. Put it in that flower. It'll work. It works every time. Spaghetti squash can be a little bit slow. Sometimes yellow squash will do this. It'll make all male flowers for a while, or it'll make all female flowers for a while. Sometimes it's temperature related. Sometimes it's not. It just happens. But if you have that going on, there's no reason not to give yourself the opportunity to look for both things and go ahead and really just get in there and do a little pollinating yourself. And if you've never tasted spaghetti squash, you'd be surprised how good it is. It's one of those things, if you really think you hate squash, try spaghetti squash because it doesn't taste like squash at all. It's really funny. What a beautiful banana plant flower. I love that one. Y'all are doing great. Beautiful spider, just gorgeous. Y'all are working Lance today, and I appreciate that because I don't have to do it, and I get to see the pictures. Supertalk.tv. Beautiful things. Just a wonderful collection today. I think we're probably breaking records. I have to watch his eyes spin in different directions. Between everything, you know, this is one of those pieces where I get to look like I know what I'm doing because somebody else is here. The whole team is here to make sure that I stay on the air with both visuals and sounds and music and text and everything else that y'all are doing. I thought I had lost the text line there for a minute, but I did recover that. So that's really good, too. So funny. Okay, I'm going to try this. There's just a little moment here that I'm going to try and tell you what Darren told me. Years ago, I was on the phone with my mother, and I needed to ask you, that's me, Garden Mama, a question about strawberry plants. I told my mom that I needed to go call my other mama. Real quick, well, I couldn't call you because I had to spend 30 minutes explaining to my mom who the Garden Mama was. She passed away several years ago, but I wanted you to know that every time I listen to you now, I think of my mother. It's very kind of you. Thank you, Darren. Thank you, Darren. That's so sweet of you. You know, when you take on a name like Mama, you do get a really wide berth about it. My daughter named me the Garden Mama, and it has served me very, very well. I love that you had to tell her. I think that's great. Oh, this is a good one. I'm going to grow some gourds. And I want to dry them to make Martin houses. And how do I dry them without rotting? Well, the first thing you need to do is grow the gourds, and that's going to take 100 days.
That was my papaw's favorite thing in the world, I think. Growing the gourds, hanging them up, and watching the Martins.
Well, and in fact, you can really do a good job of creating, you know, Martin environments with that. But you can also create lots of other really cool things. What I want to make sure that you know about is the Mississippi gourd folks. The Mississippi Gourd Society, I'm trying to say this right, and they are, in fact, they're based in Bogachita. They have a conference every year, and you can learn everything you need to know about them. Go check them out on Facebook, the Mississippi Gourd Society. Trust me, nice people. Hello, Michelle. Good to see y'all today. Hey, now, is it going to rain? It's going to rain again this week. But I don't know when. Stick around. We'll be back.
Hi, I'm Sammy the Shovel, reminding you how important it is to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig anywhere in or around any homeowner's yard. It doesn't matter if you're putting in a new mailbox, installing a fence, French drain, sprinkler system, even a flower bed. You need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig, or you could end up responsible for a water line leak, utility line with gas or propane, or even worse. Safety is in your hands. Call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
You know that nowadays, most people go online to look at a business before they spend their money. But what if the online information about your business is incorrect? Or even worse, not very flattering? If your online presence isn't great, you may be losing customers. SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital's trusted and highly trained team is the answer. We're ready to work with you to help your business capitalize on the power of digital marketing. Call 601-991-2305 or go to stmmdigital.com to get started today.
I'm Rex Baker.
Y'all ask the best questions. For somebody like me who is always interested in what happened and how did that happen and what's happening, all those kinds of things, the forensic horticulture of it all really fascinates me. I don't have that as a title. Maybe I should put it on my next business card. Here's what I do. But here's the thing. How do you get rid of daylilies? This is not a question most people want to ask. If you don't have a neighbor who will come and dig them up, and you don't have a plant swap that you can put them into containers and take them to, I've got to tell you that the most productive way is going to be literally to mow them down to the ground over and over with a weed eater, a string trimmer rather, or a lawnmower or whatever it is. And yes, you're going to want to dig them up. They're probably going to still try to come up again because this is obviously a problem area. And in that case, I'm going to say put down planks and leave them there till Christmas. And the daylilies will more than likely be suppressed. There's almost no plant that can take repetitive and continuous being chopped off at the top Okay. Very few roots can generate over and over and over and over and over. So if every time you mow, which is about weekly now, you're mowing over those daylilies that you're trying to get rid of, then you're in better condition. If you dig them up and then they're starting to come up, plant grass on top of them and just keep mowing. You can get, they're not going to be invasive. They're not, Montbrisia, Crocosmia is not even invasive if you treat it like that. It's literally getting it out and getting it out again and again. I have noticed a couple of places in my garden where the Smilax was gone, is still gone. Now it's over somewhere else. Some other bird has brought me another Smilax vine. I don't like that vine. I realize there are those of you who love it, particularly my friends in North Carolina and in places where it doesn't get so rampant. But I don't like it, and the thorns on it are too big, and the leaves themselves hurt when you touch them. I don't like it. So that's another one that I just continue to take out and take out and take out. When I cut it down, I will dig up just the littlest bit under the soil. And yes, I will put something there, put a rock there, put a little bit of salt there, put a little something else there to keep that thing. No leftover Legos. Don't worry. I'm not getting rid of the children's toys. But, you know, yeah, something, put something there. You'd be glad you did. Another good question on that text line today. Tell me about lantana. No flowers, even though I gave it fish emulsion. Well, fish emulsion is great for leaves. I'll bet it's a beautiful plant. But now, if it clearly does not have enough of the other elements, the phosphorus and the potassium. So get yourself just something you can mix up in water that's intended to grow flowering plants and use that. Lantana will come back for you and be blooming in no time. As long as it's in the sun and doesn't have any bugs on it, it's going to do fine. It's not even one that needs water, but doesn't need a whole lot of water. How do I use my chicken manure? Do I water it in or work it in? I would prefer to scratch with either a hoe or another tool and literally put down the chicken manure and then tamp it in. But, yeah, then you have to water, too. I'm not going to leave any kind of manure product outside of the soil just because I want it in closer to the roots, but it doesn't have to be dug in deeply. It can be in the top inch or so of the soil and provide what it needs for the roots underneath. Without any problem. Another good question. What's going on with the pear and apple trees in Corinth? They have brown branches, just pieces of them. We've all seen those. There's a fast food restaurant in my neighborhood that one side of the Leland cypress is completely brown. The other side is green. Same tree. Okay. How did it do this? The pears and apples in Corinth. This is literally... That one branch got damaged, either by heat or by drought. Could have been a lightning strike, but it was probably either heat or drought. And it shut down in order for the rest of the tree to live. Trees are very good at realizing how much they can support of their growth and how much they can't. And in this case, I'm willing to say that most of those things are just damage that's not going to recover. They're damaged. That's why the rest of the tree is still alive. And how do you deadhead salvia, coneflower, and bee balm? Those are about the same, Deborah. I'll tell you, the only one that I'm going to tell you a little bit different about really is the salvia. Salvias are, we think about traditionally in deadheading, we want to take the flower, and then we want to take the first little set of miniature leaves, you know, the adapted leaves that are underneath it, and then go down the stem to the next good leaf cluster and just trim right above that, okay? With salvia, you can go farther. For example, if you want to cut the flower itself, you don't have to worry about salvia. You can cut a stem eight or 9 inches long, if not longer, on some of the taller plants, and it will still come right back up and make another flower bud if it has the potential to do that. Okay? Bee balm is much easier because bee balm has literally got big leaves and then a little leaf and then a flower. So you take the flower and the little leaf, and if you don't want any of the stem, you just go back down to the next flower, to the next branch of leaves and cut there. That's where the next flower will appear. Okay? And really, that's coneflowers will kind of work the same way. I'm going to take the whole stem, though, on coneflowers because if we get a rebloom on them, which is less likely, but if we get a rebloom, it's going to be from the clump. Okay? Some of these things, some things work one way, some things work the other way. No doubt. I am happy to say that I'm really, really looking forward to the fall planting of the vegetables. We've got, this is, believe it or not, we're coming up on July, so it's time to think about these things. I don't know what you replant, and I don't. I hope that you will tell me. I hope we'll talk about this over the next several weeks. I'm also really interested to tell you to mark your calendar for the first weekend in October. That will be the Bottle Tree Garden Tour in Fondren here in Jackson. That's my neighborhood. I'm real proud of it, and I'm really happy that they are doing this this tour again. This will be our third year. We're built on the same model as garden tours in other places, but, you know, there's always one that you will go to some gardens in my neighborhood that are magnificently designed and beautifully maintained, and then you will come to my garden, which is a plant collection with a couple of really hardworking attempts. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, but that's the point. You will see everything from gardens that you can't imagine to gardens you very easily can. And in my case, the plant collection is always fun. I have had a good question about rabbit's foot ferns this week, and a couple of times lately people have been interested in this plant. You don't see that one as often as you might, and this particular individual wanted to divide her so she could share it with someone. I thought that was a great idea, but yeah, you do have to be careful. The bigger question, of course, is what are those fuzzes? What are those little rabbit's feet that come out of the plant? That's a rhizome. It's an organ that makes the plant survive. It can tolerate better conditions because it's able to hold on to water and nutrients. Anytime a plant can do that, it makes it a little tougher than the one that can't. It's an interesting thing. And another text this morning, oh my goodness, 800 ears in 10 rows. The stalk's got to be 14 feet tall in the corn. That's a lot of fertilizer for any variety of corn. But the good news is, 800 ears made a lot of cream corn. That's wonderful. That's a delight. That's such an accomplishment. I remember the all of the cooking pears. My mother made pear preserves most every year, and it was an ordeal right up until it was happening. You know, going and picking the pears was hard, and taking them to the house and washing all that stuff, and then finding the canner and getting all the things out and doing all the jars and all that stuff. But when it was happening, you knew you were in the middle of it, and you knew that was a really, really great thing. We're going to mix metaphors all together. I'm swimming upstream today against the tide. This is Be Nice. I'm telling you, be nice to strangers. Be nice to the people you love. Be nice to the people you don't even like that well. And be nice to yourself. See you next week.
The Garden Mama Show is a production of SuperTalk Mississippi Media. Download past episodes at supertalk.fm and contact Garden Mama anytime at mamaonair@yahoo.com. Thanks for choosing the Garden Mama Show.
We are advocacy, a century of wins, protecting private property rights, advancing technology, sustaining our land, conserving our natural resources, all to pass on to the next generation. We are the Mississippi Farm Bureau Federation, 100 years and counting. Become a member today at msfb.org.
Are you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from three licensed contractors. Remember, go licensed.
For more information, contact the Mississippi State Board of Contractors at msboc.us.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.